right, and welcome back. You're tuned in to At the Movies Extra, a division of At the Movies with Iconic Sounds on various Tuesdays on CJLO 1690 AM. Today we are lucky to have an interview with one of the directors from A Place of Tide and Time. It is a documentary that focuses on the isolated community known as the Lower North Shore in Canada. Please welcome Ode to the Airwaves. Good morning, Ode.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. So I think that what really I love about this documentary, seeing it the first time, is that you give a voice to all of the generations that are living onto the Lower North Shore. And it's not only, you know, the old or the young generation, you have also the middle generation too, which I love the most about this documentary. But maybe we can start from the very beginning, and you can talk a little bit about what interested you in making this documentary about the Lower North Shore in Canada, along with your co-director, Sébastien Rist.
Yeah, sure. So we were asked about 7 years ago to go teach video workshops in high schools, like in different isolated communities in Quebec. Mm-hmm. And when we were told that we were going to the Lower North Shore, we both were like, where is that? We had no clue. Even though my father is from the North Shore, he's from Sept-Îles, it's not too far from there. This region is very not well known, so we were excited about discovering this place. And so when we saw it for the first time, we were just shocked by how beautiful it was and how friendly the people were. So quickly we decided that we wanted to go back and make a documentary there. And when we talked to people more in depth, we realized that there was a big difference between the younger generation and the older one. It's so isolated that they have a way of life of their own. But, you know, 50 years ago, when you were in an isolated community, you were really, like, disconnected from the rest of the world, almost. But the young generation today, they're actually a bit different because they have internet, they have TV, so they see the land around them and traditions in a different way. So what we realize is that as soon as they graduate high school, most of them want to go out and discover and pursue like higher education. So they end up leaving, most of them.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
With the Lower North Shore being like an isolated location, was it an ideal spot to shoot this documentary?
Yeah, so I'm going to situate you a little bit. It's mm-hmm. like at the far east of Quebec. Mm-hmm. It's Anglophone communities, so which was surprising to us. We didn't know there were Anglophones in that part of Quebec. So it's like the last 15 villages just before the Labrador border. Mm-hmm. And they're all along the seaway, and they're not connected by roads to the rest of the province. They're connected by some, like the last ones are connected by road to Labrador, which makes them culturally quite closer to Newfoundland and the Eastern culture than the rest of Quebec by default, also because they're Anglophones. So going there is extremely long. You either drive through Newfoundland and it takes about like 40 hours from Montreal if you don't stop. Or you take the plane, or you take a boat. So it makes it at the same time hard to go and to make shooting arrangements. But it's what makes the place so special too. I think if it wasn't that far, there would be no movie right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what I find the most important and the most compelling inside of this documentary is that all the generations are given a forum and a voice to express their opinions about the Lower North Shore and their lives through this documentary. Do you find that other documentaries sometimes limit themselves by focusing onto the voice of one generation, let's say?
I wouldn't say necessarily it's something that should be done all the time. I think in that particular case, it was interesting because there was a big change that occurred rapidly between the last few generations. So for us, it was important to have that type of dialogue between the two, like the younger and the older generation. But I think what interests us in filmmaking is that to show a glimpse and a period of time in someone's life or in like a people's life. So I think that could be done, like, even if you focus on just one person even, or, you know, one generation. But I agree with you that in that film, maybe it was necessary to give a voice to, like, different generations in that case. So our younger people in the film, like, mentioned a few times that they want to leave, they want to explore, and that they're not sure they're going to come back because there's not much job being offered.
Exactly, versus the generation that's already been there, has gone out and explored, but then come back, you know, because they've seen the other side.
Absolutely, and once they're back, the last thing they want to do is leave again. They love it and they cherish it and they want to... One of our characters, Garland, he wants to promote tourism so that the villages don't die out, and they find new economic venues after, you know, it was a fishing villages back in the days, but there was the cod moratorium in 92, which, like, stopped cod fisheries, and that changed, like, it affected the economy dramatically. So now people are trying to find other ways to make a living out there.
True. Also, what I find interesting, too, is when you look at the younger generation, you have one of the main focuses of the younger generation. He says that he wouldn't mind coming back to the Lower North Shore to retire eventually, that he finds it an interesting place, that it would be interesting to retire, you know, at the Lower North Shore.
Well, it's because you're surrounded by nature. Mm-hmm. You have, it's like the biggest playground you can ever dream of. Mm-hmm. If you have a skidoo or a boat, you can just be completely free and go around and hunt and fish and have fun outside. So I think that's something that it's really hard to find elsewhere in Quebec or Canada. Mm-hmm. And I think they realize quite young that this is unique, and they cherish it. So they're thinking, well, there's no jobs for me here, so I'll go make a living outside, maybe have a family in the city, and then hopefully I'll be able to come back here when I don't need to work anymore.
Would there be an interest in making a follow-up documentary to A Place of Tide and Time?
Well, for sure. I think that would be interesting. We love that place. I think we're going to go back anyways for a vacation here and there. We went back this summer to show the film to the community. And
how was it received?
Yeah, it's funny because the film is not a comedy. You know, it's not dramatic either, but I don't find it particularly funny, but when we showed it in the community, people were laughing out loud. They were really, I think, maybe shy a little bit to see themselves on the screen. It's a small community, right? There are about 300 in the village.
So everybody knows everybody.
Exactly. So I think that's what they found funny.
All right.
They found it touching too, yeah.
All right. That sounds good. So before we let you go, we have normally a fun question to end off the interviews with. So our show revolves around sometimes scores from movies and soundtracks. So what are some of your personal favorites that come to mind when you think of scores and soundtracks from movies?
Yeah, I'm going to go with documentaries because that's what I watch the most. I absolutely loved the Pina movie by Wim Wenders. It's a documentary about this famous choreographer. And the soundtrack is just it's beautiful. There's a few different artists that made it. And it's just very... gorgeous to me. And also, like, it's an obscure documentary. I'm not sure people have seen it, but it's called "And the Reason, the Madness for Reason, the Madness of Reason." Mm-hmm. And it's a German filmmaker, and the soundtrack is very on point, and it helps that's what you want in a soundtrack, right? Is that it pushes the film forward, and I think that's what it does in this film.
All right. Oh, my co-host Danny has a quick question for you.
Yeah, I got a question for you. During the making of your documentary, was there any individual person within your journey who stuck out to you the most?
Well, Garland, so the older character in the film, he's 63 right now, and he's he grew up on the coast, but then early on, he was sent to Lennoxville, so around Sherbrooke, to study, because in that time, there was no school after 13 years old in the community. And then he went on to British Columbia. He was a fisherman, and then he was a sealer, so he would hunt seals, and then he was a trapper. But all of those industries collapsed. So now he has to turn himself to tourism. And so for him, like, he's seen everything on the coast, and he's very philosophical about it, and he's a very touching person to me, and we became very good friends. And I think he's the perfect example of how the coast has changed. And he's very optimistic about, like, the future of the coast, and he really works hard to promote tourism. So a big shout out to him.
All right. So Place of Tide and Time, if I'm currently seeing this right, is inside of a retrospective showcase on various days at Cinéma du Musée.
So Cinéma du Musée is going to be playing on the 14th and 15th. I think it's Thursday, Friday. And at the Cinémathèque, Berry-UQAM Metro, we have special screenings with cocktails that are being offered, and gift certificates from the restaurant Il Flottant that are being drawn. Mm. And we're going to be there to have a Q&A after the screening. That's on the 12th, 13th, and 16th, so this weekend.
Tomorrow. Québécois. All right, cool. Thank you very much for your time today, Aude.
Thank you very much
for having me.
Have a good time.
Okay, bye.